I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Welcome once again to It's a Good Life. I'm glad you could join me today. And we'll be looking in Psalm chapter 143 in just a few moments. Let me invite you to write me today, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Write me today and let me know of any prayer requests that have been answered. I want to rejoice with you in those answered prayers. And if you have a prayer request that you'd like for us to pray with you about, write to me, Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You can also go to our website, lrwm.org. Share with us today your prayer requests and answered prayer. On that website, you'll also be able to receive a free transcript of this program. You can download it, or you can print it off of that website, or you can simply use the email that's provided there for you. You can send a request, and we'll be glad to send you, free of charge, a written transcript of this program or any other program of It's a Good Life. I realize that as we go through this program, time is short, and several scriptures are used, and if you are not able to copy these down, you can go to the website and get that free transcript. And you can also hear this program once again on that website during the time period that it is aired. In Psalm chapter 143, the Bible says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications." Now this is David speaking. He was a man after God's own heart, and he was praying this prayer, and he said, "In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." Now what he's saying there is, no man that is living after the flesh, no man who has never trusted Jesus as Savior, and yes, even back then in the Old Testament, a lot of people don't understand this, but as people today, we think that no one could be saved because Jesus had not died on the cross yet. But that's far from the truth, because if you'll study the Old Testament, you'll find that everything there pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as He would die on the cross, raised from the dead, and be able to save us from our sins. So even back then, the Bible teaches us that people look toward the cross. We look back today of what was taken had taken place on the cross and the resurrection, and these people looked forward to the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But David is saying in verse 2 there that in the flesh no man would be justified. And he was trying to get across that no one can be saved without God's intervention. Now, we could read on there, and if you would later on read verses 1 through 12, but I want to call your attention today to verse 9. David said, "Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me." Now, what a mercy it is for us all that David was not an untried man. He was tried. We have all been enriched by his painful experience. He was a man who was a man after God's own heart, but yet he had his troubles. And David may be our example today. We can look to him, and we need to flee unto God as he did. When we have a problem, we need to flee to God. And we can profit from our foes, as David did, if we imitate this prudent warrior, David, in his habitual way of escaping from his enemies. Now, the great point, however, is this, that we not only see what David did, but do what he did promptly and constantly. Now, as we look at this man, we need to see what is essential in order for us to copy this man of God. Now, in order for us to copy the man of God, David, there must be a perception of danger. No man will flee if he is not afraid. There must be a knowledge, an apprehension of danger, or there will be no flight. Men perish in many instances because they have no sense of danger. The noxious air is not observed. I once knew a man who, for a living, used to drill gas wells. And occasionally, it didn't happen to him, thank the Lord, but he knew of friends and people, other workers who had drilled these gas wells, and he said there was a type of gas that would sometimes come up out of there that had no smell, and you couldn't recognize it, and people would die when that pocket of poisonous gas was uncovered there. And he said that he had actually seen his fellow workers lying on the ground where they had no, they were not warned of that gas coming up out of that hole that they had drilled. Well, that's the way it is with man. Man will not flee to God unless there is a perception. Had these people who died around these gas wells realized that that there was something there that was going to kill them, they would have fled. They would have gotten away. But there was no time. Every man is really in danger today. The sinner is asleep on the top of a mast. In other words, it's just as if that person is on the top of that small pole that goes up in the center of that sailing ship. They're teetering on that mast. They could fall at any moment. Some dangers are slowly perceived. Those connected with sweet sin are slowly seen. I would liken this to, once again, a person who is ravaged by cancer. I believe that's sin. I don't believe it's the sin the person has committed, but I believe that cancer is of the devil. But that cancer, I'm told, will start eating away at a person. That person doesn't even realize it at first. But as it eats on and on and on, that person seems to grow accustomed to a little bit of pain. But before you know it, that cancer has eaten away at them. They are suddenly consumed. It's slowly eating away at their flesh. And that's the way sin is. People get used to sin. And we need to run to God before that sin overtakes us. And then we see in running to God, there needs to be a sense of weakness. No man will flee for hiding if he feels able to fight the matter through his own strength. We are all weak and unable to cope with sin. We're no match for the devil, but thank God Jesus Christ is. It's through His blood that we have success. It's through His blood that He gives us the power to overcome the works of the devil. Some think themselves mighty men of valor, but these are among the very weakest of the weak. Past failure should teach us not to trust our own strength. In a deep sense of weakness, we are made strong. In fancied strength lies the worst form of weakness. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Trust in Him with all thy might. Lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He will give you the strength that you need. There needs to be a prudent foresight in fleeing to God. I flee unto thee to hide me, David said. And he would not venture into the danger or wait till it overtook him, but he took time by the forelock and fled. Often this is the highest form of courage. Escape through fear is admirable prudence. It is not a mean motive. We read that Noah, moved by fear, prepared an ark. It's not wrong to be afraid. God has given us that ability in order for us to flee danger. And while we can flee, we should. For the time may come when we shall be unable. David says, I flee. He means, I am fleeing. I always do flee unto thee, my God. A man should not live like a beast who sees no further than the meadow in which he feeds. He should foresee evil and hide himself. This is common prudence, or in other words, common sense. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. In running to God, there needs to be a solid confidence. David said to thee to hide me. He was sure that there was safety in God. He was sure that he could flee to God. And he was sure that he could flee immediately. Not only is there a solid confidence in running to God, but there also, in David's life, we see an active faith. He did not lie passive, but aroused himself. This can be clearly seen in his fleeing to God directly. He didn't go any other way. He went directly to God. He went speedily to God. He didn't waste time. He went right to the source. And then he went eagerly. He was calling upon God, and he knew that God could deliver him. God's people often find by experience that the places of their choosing for protection are places of destruction. Well, when all other places fail, Christ will not fail. See how it was with David in Psalm 142, verses 4 through 5. He said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. That we see David in Ziklag, when his hiding place in that town, in that area of Ziklag was gone, yet his Savior was not gone. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When we think all else is gone, what we need to do as Christians is to turn to the Lord and receive what he's done for us and receive what he will do for us once we run to him. And we see that it is an encouragement to believers that Christ is a hiding place. He is a safe and strong hiding place. Isaiah 33:16, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. The Bible teaches us that in Christ that we find that he is a large hiding place. He is a hiding place to the soul as well as to the body. He has undertaken to hide us. God has committed all his to Christ that he should hide them. Are you hidden with Christ in God today? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? If not, may I invite you to do so right now. Run to the Lord today while there is still time. Pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I can't save myself. Please come into my heart and save me to the best of my ability. Lord, I know I can't save myself. Lord, please come into my heart and save me so I can go to heaven. If you're a saved person today, run to the Lord. Ask him to help you. Ask him to lead you and guide you and give you the strength that you need to follow him and be strong today for Jesus' sake. Thank you for joining me today, and let me remind you to tune in again at this same time next week. Look at our website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org. Until this same time next week, may the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer. Living right has given me